Would you join me in prayer? For Father, we do praise you that you are faithful forever, perfect in love, and we praise you for your sovereignty in all things. We praise you for bringing us here to worship today. We praise you for the blessing of lifting our praises to you, and we now praise you for the blessing of your word. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of what the church calls Epiphany. It's actually the day of Epiphany. You have 12 days of Christmas, which you all know from the 12th day of Christmas and so forth, that I will not sing. And then after the Christmas season, we enter a season where the church proclaims Jesus to the world in a new emphasis on that. Today's sermon comes to us from a very familiar passage, the passage of when the wise men came from Persia. Yes, that Persia, all the way over to Judea to worship Jesus, and in so doing, proclaimed him the king, because they called him a king and treated him as a king, and really reveals that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we find in Matthew, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests, all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." And this is the word of the Lord. The journey of a lifetime requires the guide of eternity. The journey of a lifetime requires the guide of eternity. Once again, today the church begins celebrating that journey of Jesus, the presentation of Jesus, the proclamation of Jesus. And beginning today, we build up to Easter in a few months, where the church will really celebrate Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one of the interesting things that we find in the New Testament, and to us it's just kind of a there, we just don't think anything about it because we've heard it so often. You have these Jews who are writing these books. These Jews have learned from day one in their lives that there is one God, and him alone you shall worship. And time and again, these Jews treat Jesus as God. You find this theme over and over. You find the wise men, when they get there, they worship him. You find all these people wanting to worship him and so forth. And the amazing thing about it is we have these wise men who want to worship him, and they're not even Jews. These wise men are from Persia. Okay, I know nowadays when we think of Persia, we think of Iran, and we think of crazy people wanting to cause the apocalypse. But back then, Persia had a very rich heritage and a very rich culture. It goes back centuries, and they were one of the most highly developed civilizations on the planet. And you have these wise men who, of course, knew a whole lot about the stars and everything because they'd been studying them for centuries. You have these three wise men, or we say three, we really don't know how many it was, who had to travel from Persia, Iran, all the way over to Jerusalem. And in the process, they had to cross the border between the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. Now, the Romans and the Persians didn't exactly get along very well. Now, once again, they're on a journey of a lifetime here. Time and again, we hit these things where we have to go across the border, and folks don't get along very well there. But these men managed to make it past the Roman guards at the border, and then they came down into Jerusalem and showed up at the palace of the man who called himself King of the Jews. Now, when Persians showed up in Herod's throne room, he'd have had a flashback. Because back about 30-something years earlier, the Persians had come through and they had removed Herod from the throne of Jerusalem, stuck another guy on the throne, kind of showed the Romans who was boss, except for the fact that back then the Romans were the bosses. So the Romans came in, kicked this guy out, put Herod back in place. Herod then went ahead and executed the guy, just for good measure. And then over the next 36 years, Herod started putting his stamp on Judea as king of the Jews. He built all these wonderful buildings and everything. You can go to Israel today, and you can still see some of the ruins of what he built and so forth. And yeah, he was a brilliant engineer. He was a brilliant architect. He was also paranoid psychotic. Okay? Now, you have a guy here who is paranoid, psychotic, and powerful. And by the way, that is a horrible combination. Let me tell you how bad it gets. By the time the wise men showed up at his palace, Herod had already executed a mother-in-law, a wife, and three sons. Okay? Oh, that's not to mention the brother-in-law that drowned at one of his palaces, okay? Herod said that was an accident. The guy should have learned how to swim. Okay? Yeah, you get it. This is the guy before whom the wise men came and said the phrase, where is he born king of the Jews? And Herod's thinking, wait a minute, friends, there is one king of the Jews and you just spoke to him. But it says something about the wise men standing that Herod didn't just have them hauled outside the walls and executed. These were powerful men who had come to Jerusalem searching for him. So Herod inquires of the Jewish leadership where the priests shall be. By the way, in the process, when these people say, where is he who is born king of the Jews, it says that Herod was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Friend, trouble does not start to describe it. Okay? You ever been in one of those situations where everything goes absolutely off crazy? We're talking about for the veterans here, we're talking FUBAR. We're talking fouled up beyond all recognition here. Okay? And everybody goes nuts. When Herod goes crazy, remember, psychotic, paranoid, everybody goes crazy. That's why you have the entire city of Jerusalem scrambling around trying to find out where is this king and everything. And then the rabbis and the priests and everything, they show up. And, you know, you've seen folks who are in trouble and they just can't control themselves. They not only have to tell the story, but then they got to go farther to let you know that they're really, really, really trying to help you. Well, he was born in Bethlehem. And then they go and tell Herod the whole prophecy, as if Herod cares about the prophecy. He just wants a name. He wants a city. Oh, by the way, it gets worse. Herod had kind of these spies all over the place. I promise you that somebody in Bethlehem paid the price for letting a king be born under their nose, and Herod didn't know about it. First thing he knows about it is when a bunch of guys show up from over 1,000 miles away. Trust me, he is not happy. But he's also smart. So he tells the wise men, hey, he's in Bethlehem. Oh, by the way, when you find him, send word back to me. I want to worship this king too. Sure. Okay, so the wise men realize, hey, wait a minute. We have traveled all this way from Persia all the way over here, and we were just 10 miles short. 10 miles short. Isn't it interesting? They had gone to Jerusalem, to the palace, expecting the king to be there. Sorry, guys. They should have kept on following directions, but they didn't. No, the star didn't stop over Jerusalem. The star kept on going. It took them less than 10 miles south to a little village called Bethlehem, to a place where Jesus resided with his parents. And when they went in, they fell down and they worshiped him. These men are not Jews. These men are most likely Zoroastrians. They don't worship the Hebrew God, but they worship Jesus. And they give all of these treasures and everything. And after a journey of over 1,000 miles in the most unlikely place, the wise men found not only a king, they found God himself. God himself. Isn't it amazing that we have all these people today who are trying to find themselves? They're searching for something in life. They're looking for some sort of purpose in life. They're looking for meaning in life. They're on the journey of their lifetimes. And they need to find Jesus. Because it is only in Christ that they will find peace in their hearts. It is only in Christ that they will find that Savior that they need. It is only in Jesus that they will find that relationship restored with God that sin has broken for all of us. And then once Jesus restores that relationship, when we believe in Jesus, confess him as Lord, believing in the resurrection, then he sends the Holy Spirit into us to begin restoring that relationship and guiding us to live Christ-like lives. And one of the things we find is that how we have that we have Jesus help in the journey. He serves as our shepherd, Psalm 23. He serves as our Lord. He promises he's never going to leave or forsake those who believe in him. And here's the thing. Don't go outside today looking for a star to try to find Jesus. Doesn't work that way. Follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's how you find your way to Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit guides you to Jesus, he then guides you through life. He opens doors of opportunity for you to help somebody else, to minister to somebody else, to encourage somebody else, to help us live godly lives that demonstrate that we are Christ followers. We are Christians in the purest sense of the word. And tying back into Sunday school, the Holy Spirit guides us in studying Scripture so we recognize when things go a little wrong there. Test. We see how the Holy Spirit guides us and draws us to worship with one another, because there's something about corporate worship that you'll get nowhere else. And you'll see how the Holy Spirit then sends us out and empowers us to love other people, loving our families, loving our co-workers, loving those folks that are most unlovable, even those people that do something and you think, well, hey, this person is washed up. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't give up on folks. If he had, we'd all be in a whole lot of trouble. Okay, well, John, you never did anything really that bad. That's not the point. The point is, he didn't give up on me when I was a very proud son. Matter of fact, that's one of those things I still have to fight, and he hasn't given up on me yet. Guess what? He's not going to give up on you either. And then, as Jesus guides us through the Holy Spirit, he guides the church, and he guides us to minister to our community, to reach out beyond the walls, to do things, to shine the light of Christ, the light of the world, into the lives of others. Now, if there's a problem here, it's that nobody really wants to admit that we need him. And hey, first off, we're all Americans. We don't have a clue what it means to be what it means to have a king. And secondly, all of us here are either native Southerners or adopted Southerners. And if nobody likes being told what to do, you got to admit it's a bunch of Southerners. But the Holy Spirit draws us. The Holy Spirit draws us to do good things for others. The Holy Spirit draws us to love other people. And yes, we have people just like Herod who don't want to hear about the true ruler of all creation, the true King of the Jews. But Christians have come to know him. And we draw other people to know him. And we find there's no other way for us to save ourselves other than confessing Jesus is Lord of our lives. Journey of a lifetime. Something fascinating happened roughly 600 years after the wise men visited Bethlehem. The Persians showed up again, went through and rampaged all through the Holy Land, burned every church they could find, wrought havoc and so forth, until they arrived at the Church of the Nativity, the place marking where Jesus was born. The Persian soldiers stormed into that building, ready to burn it down, and they saw a mural now covered. You can't see it. And when they saw that mural of the wise men wearing Persian clothes, they spared the church. They thought it was a Persian shrine. And instead of burning it down, they turned around and walked out and left it intact. Isn't it amazing that how in our lives it seems so much goes wrong, and yet somehow Christ comes in and he works in his way, not just to destroy the sin, but also to elevate the love, to show us the love of God that we then show to others. So yes, Christians, as we go through this season, let's make sure that everybody in the world knows that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's make sure that they see in us the love that sent Jesus to the cross. And let's let them see in us the desire to take the journey of a lifetime that drove the wise men across borders, through hardships, into physical danger in Herod's palace to worship our King. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.